Hello, hello, and welcome to the Seabets podcast. Today's podcast is number 42. Now, if you've been following us over the past couple of episodes, you would have noticed that we started a new series about the foreigner lifestyle. Now, we've already had Dr. Chuck Matthias. He talked to us about praying daily.
That's right.
Then we had Matt Candler join us talking about fasting weekly. And on this episode, we're going to continue that conversation. We have the lovely Dana Candler, the Mrs. Candler, joining us as she talks about the gift of hunger. Now, the Lord gives this to us as a gift as we engage with the spiritual truth of fasting. So thank you, Dana, for joining us.
It's great to be with you guys.
So you're a mom, you're a loving wife, and you've been here at IHOP for a long time. So you've obviously spent hours and hours and hours cultivating the gift of hunger. So you're going to kind of just unpack that and talk about that with us, which I love.
You're just going to fill our heads with all the revelation we need.
So many truths, so many truths. But I actually first want to dive into Matthew 5. Now, we all know it's a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to a lot of people, and he says to us, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." But what does that mean? Is that like physically filled, spiritually filled, mentally filled? What does it mean to hunger and thirst and then be filled?
Yes, I love that passage. I love the just the principle that the Lord gives based on our hunger. Mm-hmm. And we come hungry and he answers. And another way that you can look at that is the measure that we're hungry is the measure that we'll be satisfied. Mm. Or the ceiling of our hunger is the ceiling that we'll be satisfied with Jesus. I remember the day that clicked with me, like, this is real. And I imagine myself to be really hungry, but there is a grace available to grow in hunger so that my hunger could increase and then I could be even more satisfied. So it's a principle of the way the Lord engages with us. He engages with us based upon our hunger.
Wow. So hunger for the word, hunger for who he is, the revelation of who he is.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, nobody likes to be hungry. And I remember even last week when Matt was with us, he shared his story of, you know, just thinking that he would die if he didn't go without
food. He really did. He wasn't exaggerating.
You know, but you know, so many people see it as like a means to an end, right? Like you fast and then maybe you're worthy of spiritual authority. Maybe God will answer that prayer you've always wanted to be, you know, answered.
Right.
And fasting then becomes almost like this transactional, you know, a relationship with God where, hey, I'm paying my dues.
Yes.
So, like, can you tell me how much more I got to do this to get that thing that you said I could have? And, you know, obviously fasting is not that.
Right.
So can you tell me just at the core, what is the heart of fasting?
Right. The heart of fasting, I really think Jesus hits it when he says in Matthew 9:15 that the friends of the bridegroom will mourn. And in that context, he's talking about fasting. So he uses those words interchangeably, mourning and fasting.
Yeah, yeah.
The friends of the bridegroom will mourn when the bridegroom is taken away. That to me is the most central, in one statement, what is the heart of fasting? It's that. We mourn, we desire, we hunger for Jesus. As he is a bridegroom and as we are the bride, it's in that identity, you know, of that lovesick longing. You know, you can never accuse a bride of striving. You know, like you would never say to your wife, I would never say to her, you know, you're working way too hard to love Reuben. You know, you're
overdoing it. It's really hard to love me.
You know what? Like that idea that to fast is to strive.
Right,
and that's a real idea out there, you know. But if you put it in the context of a bride and a bridegroom and how you long for that person, then there's no such thing as striving,
right.
You know. It's coming out of that place of love, and there is no ceiling there,
yeah.
You know. And so that's the heart. That's the heart behind
that's
it.
That's so good. Oh, because I think about, you know, like for real, your identity in God, in order for fasting to not be, tainted by motive, by wrong motive,
yes.
Is that we have to know that he loves us and wants us and that every promise is ours right now, that, you know, it's a yes and amen, right? The promises of God, and that he wants us to receive every spiritual blessing. If he wants us to have the Holy Spirit, he wants to give us faith. Like, we see it all throughout scripture. And yes. So when you have that identity in him, then fasting doesn't get complicated by those snares.
That's right. We love because he first loved.
Yeah.
In the same way, we long because he first longed.
Oh, that's good.
Longing is part of love.
Yeah.
We desire because he first desired. John 17, Father, I desire that they would be with me where I am, that they would see my beauty, that the very love that you love me with would be in them.
Yeah. Right.
That's his desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We never desire unless we first have partaken of the desire of God. It's actually a gift of God. Yeah. It's him moving in us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you, if we are not experiencing the desire to fast or the desire to mourn and long for him, what do we do? How do we get to that place?
Question.
Yes. That even in itself is part of desire. Because what I hear you saying is, I want to want him. I want to desire him more. I actually look at those, you know, in the Word, and I look at those in church history that were like living hunger, you know, the most hungry people. They're my heroes. I want that. Yeah. I want to be hungry like that. I want to burn like that. Why can't I be like that?
Yes.
That in and of itself is part of desire, is part of hunger. Okay. I hunger to hunger. Yeah. That is like, that is the prelude. That's the beginning of hunger. And we want to want, and eventually that transitions into full on wanting, full on hungering.
On starving.
No, not starving. Because starving is when you fast without reading the Word or something.
That's right, not being answered.
Yes. Yeah. I've always seen it as a picture. You know, when you're not very well, you're sick, you don't want to eat, you don't want to drink, and your mom is like, okay, you really are sick. You need to go lay in bed. I've always kind of looked at my Christian walk like that. If I'm not hungering and thirsting for the Lord, there is something wrong with me. There's something ill, there's something sick, something off with me. So I've always had that as a picture of, if I'm hungry and thirsty, okay, then my soul is doing well because it's wanting more. And if it's not, then something's got to be made right.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great point.
So, I like that one.
Right, the hungrier we are, the more we've known Jesus. Yeah. And if that hunger has grown dull, it's like an alarm going off.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. Yeah. Something's wrong. You have to go back to the source.
Yeah.
Get hungry again.
Oh, that's so good. I'm just thinking, you know, because we are a few days into this 40-day fast as a community, and already, you know, the weakness sets in. Already, there's already a thinking about, why did I sign up for this? And these kinds of truths are so important to meditate on and to realize that what we are doing, aside from setting our eyes on him, is that we are mourning. Right, for different reasons, mourning for the bridegroom, longing for him to return, mourning our own condition of our soul. Right, mourning the state of the world right now, this coronavirus that's just crazy. There's just so much happening, and we're mourning, saying, wow, this, something's not right, you know. But at the same time, we're also leaning into knowing that there's one who can satisfy the longings that we're all feeling, right? And that's what you were mentioning as the heart behind fasting. But can we talk a little bit about the mourning? Because I know you said that Matthew 9, talking that we would mourn for the bridegroom. And there's obviously like 10 ways to mourn, it seems. But can you talk on a few things about mourning? I know you wrote a book on mourning for the bridegroom, so I'd like to just...
Right. Yeah, that mourning, it's like that lovesick heart. It's that longing. It's the desire that we have for the fullness. You know, and there are aspects of that. Today, there is a fullness, you know, and I think about all that the Lord would give the human heart that is making itself available in desperate hunger and longing. Just as he said, I give to the hungry. I'm good, you know. So there's that part. Ultimately, it leads us all the way to longing for Jesus to return. There is that part of us that is, we're not going to stop longing. Right. We're actually going to increase in that mourning until finally he returns, because that is the anchor. That is our hope. That is where it's all headed to. And he will return to a corporate people, the bride, that longs for him. Yeah. And so there's this part of love. I think we always focus on the enjoyable parts of love and the feeling parts and the sweet parts, and that's real. But there are also the parts of love that sting. Yeah. Right. There's an aching. There's a yearning. And we see that, you know, it's real easy for us to know this intuitively when we think about our relationships with one another. When I think about my relationship with Matt, and if he were taken away, I love him. I'm going to miss him. Yeah. I'm going to long for him. And I better. And if I don't, something's wrong, you know. And we're in a real moment right now. In the age to come, we will look back on this moment with understanding. Jesus was not actually here bodily. Yeah. There is a fullness. Yes, we have the indwelling spirit, but there is a fullness for when he will be here.
Right. Yeah.
And we'll get to talk with him and see his face and be what the disciples got to experience. Yeah. But not only that, we'll have the indwelling spirit as well. There's right. that fullness. So we mourn and we long until that day.
Gosh, that's so good. I mean, I really think about that, what you said. You know, you miss, like, if you love someone and then you don't see them because they're suddenly taken away, that you obviously would miss them. And I think part of our accidental disbelief or atheism, as they say, the functional atheism that we experience in the church in the West, is that we don't realize that it actually isn't okay that he's not here.
That's right.
Like we are in a season where it's things, not just things, the most extravagant, the most precious treasure is missing. Like,
right.
it's like having, you know, a car without an engine. I mean, it's a terrible metaphor, but I'm just saying, like, it's just like the world is sitting, waiting until we are infused by that fire, that consuming fire whose name is Jesus,
right.
and makes everything, it makes sense then when he's here. And I do think about that, and I think, Lord, would you fill us as a people, as your church? We're all messed up, you know, but that's all you have all over the world. So would you fill us with that longing again, you know?
That's right.
A few episodes ago, I think we had Francis Chan, and we were talking about this, and I remember him saying this phrase, like, you know, we wouldn't be fighting, we would be much more united if we would just fixate our eyes on this glorious hope, this blessed hope that he would come back.
Right.
And I do hold on to that. Like, like the greatest pathway to unity in the body of Christ isn't agreement on certain theological postulates, all this stuff. It's that we would realize that our hope is that man would be on this planet.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'll say a painful statement, that the degree that we miss him, long for him, is the degree that we love him. And so, said more negatively, that the lack of missing, to whatever measure we don't long for him, is the measure we don't love him.
Ouch.
Wow, that can sting.
That can sting. But here's the thing. You can only miss someone you know. And so the invitation isn't to some, like, emotional groan that we're supposed to conjure up.
That's good.
The invitation is, we got to know him. He's so potent. He's so powerful in who he is, his nature, his personality, his beauty. Every taste causes us to long for more.
Yeah.
And so it's really just a call to know him. And the more we know, the more we end up saying what the Lord's leading all the church to.
Yeah.
Jesus, we want you to come back.
Yeah.
We want you.
Yeah. So we need to respond to the little prods that he gives us, these little encounters that we have. We actually need to respond and say, oh yeah, I feel you. I hear you. Give me more, and kind of have a conversation with him the whole time.
Yes. I call that embracing hunger.
Okay.
You know, it's saying yes to that hunger. You know, maybe in my earlier years, I would have thought that was all me. Like, oh yeah, I'm such a hungry person. I'm so spiritual. I want God so much. Until the seasons where it's dry, you know, oh God, I think I'm getting dull.
Yeah.
Oh no, you know, and then I feel that, just that, like you're saying, just that little bit of tenderness, just that little bit of reach in my heart. And it's like a little flame that I just start fanning, like, yes, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes. You know, yeah. It's precious. It's precious.
Yeah. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
When we hunger at all, it's God helping us move towards Him. You know?
So if we're not having these encounters during our fasted lifestyle, and we're not feeling the gift of hunger, like, how do we know He's responding to us? How do we know that He's actually in the conversation with us when we're fasting and giving hours to this? Like, how do we know He's even with us?
Yes, yes. Well, first of all, we trust. We trust that His word is true.
Yeah.
He rewards those who diligently seek Him.
Come on.
He answers. He says, I am the God that fills the hungry with good things. Mm. And so because that, again, we're vulnerable, all kinds of accusations come in towards our own hearts and towards Him.
Right.
And if we're not careful, we will sign off and we'll go, I tried it, I did it, He didn't come. So first of all, we go back to the truth. No, Jesus, this is who You are.
Yeah.
You said You fill. You said You satisfy. You said You reward. And we trust that He will.
Right.
Now, we also have to know there are delays. Right. And there are days that are nothing but delays.
Right.
And that too, we can trust Him with. We can, you know, someone, I don't know, maybe it's Teresa of Avila, had this picture. We bring the Lord an empty plate every day. And then some days we walk away with a feast and we go, thank You, You satisfied. Other days we walk away with an empty plate and we go, thank You, You're good. I trust You. Even the delay is increasing the hunger so that You will fill me to a greater measure. I trust You.
That is so good.
Wow.
I love that so much. I feel like that's what the Lord is really after, is that transformation in our hearts, right? It's all those things that come up during fasting, like our expectations, all of that comes up. And then when they're met or when they're not, the Lord is just waiting for us to find us leaning on Him. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really what He's after. It's just that transformation. Yeah. Is that, that posture of leaning no matter what, that trust. So
that's,
I love that.
So good. No, I love that.
Yeah, it does expose what's there as well, you know. I think if I may be vulnerable for a bit, I've been stewing on Matthew 13, you know, for so long. I got saved at age 15. And I mean, it's like the grace of God was on my life, and I went, not just running, I've been sprinting, right? Mm-hmm. For, you know, whatever, a very long time. Now I'm 34. So I was sprinting and sprinting, and I had this perception that I was good soil the whole time. And maybe there were moments, but recently what I've been feeling in this, you know, in this place of longing, of realizing that I don't long as much, is that, you know, when you're 34 years old like me, you might have 3 kids like me. You might have, you know, to get health insurance. You might have financial issues. You might, you know, develop certain, you know, your mind begins to be filled with the cares of this life.
Right.
And cares of this life aren't evil things, right? We got to care for our kids, for our, you know, homes, for all these things. But when they become the predominant thing in your thought life, where you're pulling up in the place of prayer, you know, quotes for health insurance or things like that, like, that's when the Lord started, you know, probing at me, like, hey, do you realize that things have changed here?
Yeah. Right.
Our relationship was changed, and that wasn't my fault. You know, He was telling me, it is like, you think you're good soil, son, and I want you to be, but you're not. You know, you have allowed the thorns to contaminate, to, you know, because my wife is a gardener, and so she's always weeding, she's always cultivating, making sure that there's no, you know, squash bugs and cucumber beetles and all this stuff, that she's making sure that, you know, everything's good for the soil to be pure. And I've for now, it's been, gosh, 8 months, Lord's been prodding at me, you know, you are in rocky soil.
Wow.
You know, because in the rocky soil, it's when tribulation and persecution comes, then the sun comes out and you're scorched. You have no root system.
And I
that's what I've been carrying recently. So hearing you talk about mourning, you know, and the things that you're saying, that fasting exposes us. And of course, you know, fasting does indeed expose our very real weakness that we already have.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, for me, that's one of the primary motives, you know, for reaching deeper is like, yes, here I am in all my not glory, you know, here I am, but you love me and you're calling me deeper and you're giving me grace to find a way to become good soil. It's not like we strive for that. You know, God does that in us as we yield to him. And so I just thought I'd share that because I know many of our listeners might feel the same way, you know, like, man, it sounds so cool to be cool like that. But I, you know, this is an everyday thing for me. I mean, as I hear you talk about fasting, Dana, like Ruben right here is feeling convicted. You know, I'm feeling, do I long for him? I remember I used to weep when I read the word. I mean, I just turned one page and I was already crying. Like, where did that go? You know, or I think about times when I would pray and like I didn't want to do anything else, you know, and somehow either the cares of this life or get this, in the end of Matthew 13, the familiarity with Jesus gets me to a place where he's too familiar for me to believe him anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that you know, as I'm kind of like just being vulnerable out there, what it shows a way that God causes hunger in our hearts, because that's what it's doing in me. You know, like I'm kind of standing beside myself, like I'm a case study right now, you know? And I'm like, wow, God, you're like exposing things in my life where I, you know, it's not about what people say about me, reputation. It's like, no, you're telling me what you see in me. And it's making me long, not to perform, not to like be worthy of him. Like, but like, I have to be closer to you. And maybe this is something that's holding me back, you know?
Yes. I mean, what's striking me as you're talking is humility. There is a humility to even hunger for God. Because we presume that we're so full and that we're so satisfied and that we're so spiritual and we lean that way, you know. But as you're talking, I'm just hearing that humility that's willing to say, I am barren spiritually. And I don't know that we get to be filled until we're willing to get exposed. And face the barrenness of our own soul and God say, God, I don't know you like I thought I did. And maybe what I have known in the past, I need to be renewed in. I need to be revived in. God, I just want to be honest. There's that honesty. And the Lord, he answers that. I mean, it's like a magnet. It's like that magnet of humility that he answers, you know. But it is what I hear humility just even in that willingness to face. I don't have as much as I thought, but I'm coming. I'm drawing near.
Yeah.
That's so good. Oh,
I love that.
I mean, I just think in our generation, and maybe you can comment on this, Georgia, because we've talked a ton about this, but like it's almost like in order to understand the Father's affections for us, we've overcorrected in talking about our virtue, our worth, you know, because obviously he loved us to the end and still loves us to the end. And you know, but we almost overcorrect to the point that we are content, not godly contentment, but we're content with our condition. We're like, eh, right. You know, yeah. it's like, you know, I'll put myself in these shoes. It's like that husband that's been married for 15, 20 years. And it's like, eh, you know, the pursuit isn't necessary anymore. Like, I'm good, you know?
Right.
And it's like, obviously that's not okay. Yeah. But I just think about like, we can't have that meh, you know, like we've got to keep somehow, and even though we know he loves us as we are, you know, just as we are, he receives us and loves us fully. Like, even in the place of our greatest weakness, that doesn't mean that we just coast.
Right.
In fact, it should produce the opposite effect.
Oh, 100%. I think it just speaks to the dullness of this generation and whatever generation you're in when you're just like, nah. It's not like you don't care about the state of your marriage or your heart. It's more that you don't know the state of your heart. You haven't taken the time to care and actually look and see what's going on in your heart. So I think when you're sharing about, oh my gosh, am I actually this rock solid soil? I actually think it's maturity because you're taking the time to look and taking the time to hear from the Lord of what's going on. And then you're actually jumping into his boat being like, oh, now what do I do? Now I see it as you see it. What do I do to get to the rich, fertile soil? And so I think when we're just like, I'm good where I am in the Lord right now, it's because you're asleep. You're dead on the inside. Oh, so you're good. Actually not being mature. You're just you just don't have enough energy to even care. And I think that's when it gets really dangerous. I think being vulnerable and like not scared necessarily, but just like, oh my gosh, in awe of the lack inside, I think that's maturity. And actually choosing to be willing to go there with God is way better. And I think the technology and all the things in life make us because we're choosing not to notice.
And just to jump on that too, I feel like with social media, with just our generation, we're told not to be weak. We're told not to like experience these things that will draw us closer to the Lord and to his word. Yeah. And so there's that complacency, that passivity that we face daily. So it's a challenge really. Like we have to fight. I think of Jesus when he talked about John the Baptist, and he said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and only the violent take it by force. And he was meaning like it's a lifestyle of radical obedience. It's a radical lifestyle of fasting, of saying no to all of these things that are presented to us. Even when we wake up, like our thoughts, what we see in the screens, what we see when we go out, like it's always inviting us in. And it's into that dullness, it's into that unconnectedness.
Disconnectedness.
Disconnectedness to our real spiritual state before God.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it is, but by his grace and by drawing and by making these choices daily in obedience and because we love him, I think that there is grace to go the other way.
That's so good.
It makes me think of this quote G.K. Chesterton said, "We have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we."
Ooh.
And when you're talking about the dullness and the complacency, that's because that's what happens as we sin in that little fragments of unbelief that creep in. We grow dull. And we grow old.
Yeah.
And our Father never grows old, you know?
Oh, wow.
He has the dew of his youth.
Yeah.
He is forever vibrant in his love. And Jesus wants to keep us alive as we respond to him in grace. We don't have to grow old. We're actually meant to live forever, you know?
Praise God.
First love, like Revelation 2 talks about, to the very end. He's not showing up for an old decrepit bride filled with unbelief. Yeah. No, she is in first love.
Yes. That's right.
And I think this also speaks of our lack of commitment too, even going in a different direction about how in my generation, we don't like to commit for that long. We'll start a job and then we're like, ah, it's kind of boring. I'm just going to go do something else. Like we don't stay true to our word. And I think even the other day during a worship with the word, we were singing about Psalm 37 and how it says, commit your way to the Lord. And it's not just, I'm going to do it when I'm 18 and when I'm 59, I'm still going to be committed. It's actually a continual process of committing, and when we are engaged in that commitment, then the gift of hunger will grow instead of this like sporadic, I'm gonna lay a hold of you.
You know, I think about Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. I was just turn to it right now, because you know there's this you know, it's considered an eschatological chapter for anyway, but the point is this concept of God where he's telling us, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. And then it's the indictment. Break up your fallow ground. And it says, for it is the time to seek the Lord. And for what? That he may come and rain righteousness upon you. I feel, if I may be so bold, that the condition of the church, as I've been feeling even from my own heart, is that we are fallow ground thinking that we are nice soil, you know, and the Lord he's putting his finger on this, not to make us feel bad so that we wallow in our, you know, in guilt and shame. He's exposing the truth so that we would turn to him and remember our first love and the things that we did at first and say, hey, no, you are my son, my daughter. You are my bride. Come back.
Right, and I'll take it even a step further, because what we were at first was only the beginning. He's not just trying to take us back somewhere. it's go back to the beginning, because you were in the right, on the right track there.
Yeah.
Right. So that I can take you to the future that I have for you.
Yeah.
You know, that beginning was only the beginning.
Right.
You know, the trajectory of the New Testament is not go back to the beginning so you can stay that way till the end. Rather, it's abounding in love still more and more, increasing in the knowledge of God. There's this upward trajectory that he wants to take us. That's what he's going to do for his church. He really desires to do that.
That's so good.
That is good.
That deserves a Selah. No, I just think, you know, fasting has been such a hard thing for the church. And the way that you're presenting it to us right now, it just gives me, and I think that our audience would agree, a vision for the reward of it, the benefit of it, you know, the joy.
The gift.
The gift of hunger. Oh, my gosh. That's like a hashtag Twitter thing.
The gift of hunger. Hunger is a gift.
Amen.
Wow, such a powerful gift. Well, Dana, we so appreciate you being here with us today. We know that actually you've written a few books on this very topic. Can you name them so that we can put them on our link?
Yes. So Deep Unto Deep is the subject of intimacy with Jesus and growing in intimacy with Jesus. I talk a lot about hunger in that one.
Perfect.
Then Entirety, which is about loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the first commandment. And then Longing for His Return, this mourning, longing, Matthew 9. We love a real person. We long for the day. Today we long for fullness of experiencing His love. And I am currently writing a book that hasn't come out yet, but it's on first love.
Oh, that's awesome. So good.
Does that have a date where it's going to come out?
No, officially.
You can get it in time for Christmas.
Now you know that we have need of this ministry. So let's pray. Let's lean
Seriously.
In.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh.
No, and also, of course, the rewards of fasting that you wrote with Mike a few years ago. So we're going to put these links on our description below so that you can feed and feast on the Word of God as revealed to Dana, our dear friend here. And also, if some of you are barely hearing about this 40-day fast, we're doing a community, want to learn about fasting, even if you're not able to engage in. We also want to put a link for you to register for a lot of content on the issue of fasting. Matt Candler, Dana actually does a few sessions on this. Mike, myself, many others are involved in giving you tips, not just the why behind the what, which is very important, but also the what. And then, of course, we do some drip content throughout a 40-day period of looking upward. And so we want to make this available to you. We want you to feel connected, that this is something that's accessible to you, that you can hunger, that this gift belongs not just to some radical few, but it belongs to everyone whom God has given his son to, and you are amongst them. So I hope this is useful to you. It's just really easy, ihopkc.org/40-day-fast. That simple, 40-day fast, or you can go to cbetskc.org/40-day fast as well. It's in both of them. But we just want to make this resource available to you, hoping that it will empower you to draw near to Him, to experience that sensation of being satisfied.
Seriously. And if you're in a season of life right now where you're like, I don't feel hungry, I'm not thirsty, there isn't a desire for the Lord, ask Him what it is that's missing in your life. Take a passage, read, pray, sing it over your life, and just ask Him to meet you, that your hunger may grow. He wants to give you the gift of hunger.
That's right.
So thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't seen our previous podcast, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, anywhere that your outlet is for podcasts. We will be there. And we look forward to seeing you next Friday, 2 p.m. Central
That's
Time.
Right. Peace.